Welcome to the podcast, everyone. I'm Burns Hargis. The opportunity a university has to shape the future of its students doesn't stop in the classroom. For most students, going to college is the first time they've lived away from home. It's a critical stage in their life. That's where the Division of Student Affairs comes in. Its role is to help shape the student experience. At Oklahoma State University, student affairs includes campus housing, dining, health, and career services. Leading this vital work is today's guest, Dr. Doug Hallenbach, who became Oklahoma State's Vice President of Student Affairs earlier this year. We had three primary goals for our conversation with Dr. Hallenbach. First, I wanted you to get to know him. Second, I wanted students to hear what OSU has to offer, including steps they can take to get help if they're struggling in college. Those troubles could be financial, health-related, academic, or in some other area. And finally, we have important information for parents. And now, here's my interview with Doug Hallenbach on the Inside OSU podcast.
I was actually born in Ames, Iowa. My dad worked in student housing there. Then we moved to Athens, Georgia, where he worked at the University of Georgia in student housing as the director of housing there. And so Athens is where I call home, so that's where I grew up. Spent my high school years there, and then decided to go down to Georgia College, a little small school in Milledgeville, Georgia, and to go to school, and was pretty involved there. Was a psychology major, was a cheerleader, one of the first co-ed cheerleading squads in the history of Georgia College. I was on that team.
We're going to get you to Yale here in just a minute.
That would be outstanding. I'm retired, but I could do it.
We'll make you jump too.
So
what happened? What'd you get a degree in?
My degree in psychology.
Psychology, yep. And then what happened?
Well, but I was pretty involved in a fraternity, and then I was an RA, and I thought I wanted to be a counselor, and about my senior year decided I didn't. My dad said, well, why don't you think about student affairs work? And I said, well, that makes sense. So went to Mississippi State, got my master's degree in student development, and worked as a hall director there, and then spent a couple years at the University of Florida, and then came here in 1996, came out here and just fell in love with the place, and got my doctorate while I was here. Two of my children were born in Stillwater Medical. And
so you were, and what were you doing here at OSU in those days?
I was an assistant director for residential life.
Did you go from here to Clemson?
From here to Southern Methodist University in Dallas,
yeah,
as a director of housing, and was there for 4 years. I got a chance to go back to Clemson as an executive director of housing.
And then you were there how many years?
I was there 12.
So wow, 12 years.
About five as the executive director of housing, and the rest as associate vice president, senior associate vice president.
So their colors are orange as well.
They are. And they care a little bit about athletics there too, and a good land-grant institution like we are.
Just to summarize for our listeners, kind of what's under your bailiwick? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've really got a broad portfolio of responsibilities.
Yep. You know, think about most things that happen outside the classroom that affect the student experience. So housing, dining, the student union, student activities, leadership programs, student health services, counseling,
intramural center, sports,
recreation, all those wellness programs all fall underneath the umbrella.
The student affairs, student life outside the classroom has a lot to do with what goes on inside the classroom, especially in the area of retention, doesn't it?
It does. And what we try to do within student affairs is take the things that students are learning in the classroom, help them apply those to real life settings in any number of ways. It could be an outdoor adventure trip, it could be in a residence hall, student organization, and to really supplement the in-class learning with out-of-class experiences that really kind of bolster up what they're doing.
Well, often you're gonna see a student struggling before anybody else does.
Well, exactly.
And what happens if you observe that?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times it could be a student staff member in the residence life program or one of our advisors, or we'll see that student and first of all talk to them, ask them how they're doing, what's going on, and then depending on what the answer is, we might take them over to the counseling center, might connect them with a student organization that they're interested in, might connect them with an intramural sports or club team that they could be a part of.
So a lot of times, though, it's financial, isn't it?
A lot of times it can be. It can be. The students are struggling. We have students that have food insecurity issues, don't know where their next meal's coming from. We've had students that don't want to go home during the breaks because they don't have a home to go home to. And so we'll connect them to resources, either financial aid, or if we can provide assistance through my office, we have funds that we can give emergency funds to students to help them kind of get over the hump.
Doug, what would you say is the number one goal of Student Affairs? Yeah.
I think our number one goal is to connect students to their peers, to staff, faculty, but also the institution. And that when we think about the importance of this time in a student's life, it's really that emotional connection that they have to the institution that I think we play a vital role in a lot of different ways in connecting the students.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you see here?
I think the biggest challenge from a student population is, and this is a national trend, the rise in mental health and mental health concerns and really anxiety and depression rates.
I hear that everywhere I go from presidents around the country.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. A lot of factors that go into that. Partly it is a lot of the support services in high schools that students before would never have gotten to college to have some of these struggles. And then social media plays a role into it. The pressure of just the national conversation of the economy or the culture all kind of drive to, I think, the rise in anxiety rate. So that's one
and
of the
staffing up to deal with that is a real challenge, isn't it?
It is. And so the key is trying to figure out not only from a counselor standpoint, making sure we have enough counselors and a variety of different options, but it's also looking at some of the root causes. So, you know, really focusing a lot on student sleep, trying to get them to sleep better, trying to get them to eat better and exercise more. And if we can do those things, we believe that we'll just naturally drive down some of those rates.
Yeah, getting them to go to class is a pretty good
Yeah, that helps as
too.
Well, yeah.
Because a lot of these students, of course, show up here and their mom or dad have been waking them up every morning. And pushing them to get ready to go to school.
Yep.
That isn't happening now.
Not at all. And, you know, over the last 10 to 15 years in public schools, not only do they wake them up, but they can check their grades daily. They can be the ones that, you know, say, hey, you got a test coming up, you got a paper coming up. And students haven't had to have that responsibility as much now. So part of what we do is try to ask them those questions as well. What are you doing?
Well, just time management. Figuring out how to get it all in is a real challenge for a lot of students.
It is. And balancing that out and what's necessary for them to do, what do they like to do, and what can they give up doing.
What are some of the common misconceptions that parents have when their student goes off to college?
there's a couple. One, I think parents misperceive the amount of time that students have. I think they feel like sometimes they have less time than they do. So we encourage students to have part-time jobs, and parents go, well, they don't have time to. They have more free time than they know, and so I think that's one. And I think the other misperception is that we're not high school, and so we don't respond to the parents the same way, and we don't provide the same level of information. And so when they drop their student off, sometimes they want us to be responsible for every second of their student's path. Yeah. And
well, there's the so-called FERPA law that keeps you from, unless the student signs a waiver, you can't tell the parents the grades.
Exactly. In fact, when I was here my first tenure, I used to give a lot of orientation speeches, and parents one time asked me, well, what can we do to get that done? Do we have to, you know, have a federal law? And I said, well, yeah, you'd have to change the federal law because we can't tell you these things, academic things, because of that.
Or the student can waive.
They can waive. Right. They sure can.
The other thing is on academics, I think student affairs, as we've discussed, have a lot of effect on academics. Yeah. But there's some things that are going on, living learning communities and the like, that really do kind of directly deal with the academic side of the house.
It sure does. And we have specifically with our living learning communities within residential life, direct connections where we provide a floor and space and some oversight in terms of programs, but then directly connect back with our academic
And so
partners.
What would be some examples of that?
Well, we have a program with SEAT, with engineering, where we have some advising centers in the basement of Parker Hall, and so they're able to do some advising there. We have advisors that are student peer advisors that are supervised through the College of Engineering that live on the floor and also work with the students.
So everybody there is an engineering major?
Everybody's an engineering major.
Yeah. Are there others like that?
We have the Honors Building Stout Hall, which actually my daughter lived in, which is a direct connection with the Honors Program, and Dean Garbutt is actively engaged in the community, has cookie and tea and he and his wife do with the residents on a weekly basis as well.
What piece of advice do you have for parents who drop their students off?
Really, two things. One, short term is drop them off and leave, go home, let their student do what they need to do, navigate the experience themselves first. You know, don't make the call first. Let the student handle whatever issues or concerns that might come up. They usually work those out pretty well. The second one, a little bit more tricky when I talk to parents, is that students' job when they come here is really to find themselves, find their passion, find their purpose. And sometimes that differs a little bit from the parents' passion or purpose that they have for their child. So being able to let their child be themselves and grow into the person they're going to be.
So the so-called helicopter approach is not wise.
It's not preferable, not at all. It doesn't help the students, and it just it can get in the way.
And so what advice do you have for students?
I think for students, it's to take full advantage of the college experience. We have more opportunities for cultural activities, sporting activities. Do something that pushes you outside of your comfort level and explore all the different aspects that we have. Go take a different class as an elective than your major. Go to a different event. Join a club or organization that's different than you thought you'd ever join. And then the other thing that we try to tell them early and often is, in the first 3 or 4 weeks, go by and see your faculty member during their office hours. If you don't have a question, make up a question to help demystify that process.
Yeah, I often tell students that and parents, what goes on inside the classroom is critical.
Yeah.
But what goes on outside is pretty critical. And there was a recent study from Stanford that found that students that were engaged, kind of didn't matter where they went to school, didn't matter what they majored in.
Yeah.
If they were engaged on campus, they're more financially successful than students that weren't.
Yep. Yeah, they learn a lot of different skills that help support them, like how to be a part of a team, how to be part of a group, how to interact with people that are different than themselves. All that, a lot of that happens outside of the classroom. And we find that students are the same, similar, that if they're engaged, about 5 activities within the first 3 or 4 weeks, regardless of what they are, they're going to be retained at a higher level, they're going to graduate at higher rates and have better GPAs.
Yeah. What would you put at the top, tell students to put at the top of their to-do list?
Yeah, I think going back to find their place. So get out and meet their residents on their floor, get to know their RA, go out and be involved in a club, organization, pay attention to, especially the first 3 or 4 weeks, pay attention to faculty office hours, go to class, ask questions like that.
What about for students that are in the Greek system?
I would have them do the same things. I think the Greek system is a tremendous benefit to Oklahoma State and to a student's path, but it's important that that's not the only thing that they know, that they engaged in the Greek system, but they're also getting out and meeting other people.
You know, there's another area I've observed that I think students could really benefit from. We know they benefit from studying abroad.
Yeah.
But there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 international students on campus here at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And it's a tremendous opportunity for students, United States students, to get acquainted with those people, because they're going to be dealing with people in Beijing like we do in Cushing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to be a very small world.
Yeah.
It's going to shrink.
Yeah.
But I don't really see our students taking advantage of that opportunity to interact with the international students.
Yeah.
What do we do about that?
Well, I think part of it would be, you know, make sure that we're setting up some intentional programs that put international and domestic students together just to have conversations. We have a tremendous opportunity in the Colvin Center with intramural sports to develop a different cricket, for an example, or soccer, some of those sports that are somewhat either not known here or kind of big here, but are huge in other parts of the world that we really can connect international and domestic students.
It's important that all our students know that they have a support system here at Oklahoma State. If you feel overwhelmed with a personal problem, financial issues, or classroom troubles, you need to know that you are not alone. Student Affairs is here to help. Go to studentaffairs.okstate.edu for a list of departments and resources. And that's the Inside OSU podcast for this week. Until next time, I'm Burns Hargis. Thank you for subscribing and for listening.